Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Spirituality for busy people is our topic. Robin Wrigley Carr is our guide. Last week, we talked about the role of solitude and silence, what role it can play in our spiritual growth. Tonight, we're kind of moving back towards people again. We're looking at confession and spiritual friendship. Hi, Robin.
Hi there.
Interesting phrases here. Spiritual friendship. You know, you've heard of the pastor and the priest and the counselor, and some of us even have prayer partners, but the spiritual friend, tell me about this.
Well, the title is a little bit elevated.
Yes.
The term.
How would you feel being a spiritual? I'm your spiritual friend.
Well, the term spiritual friend makes you think, gee, that person must be so holy, a real guru. But the word spiritual in spiritual friend really just emphasises that the friendship is designed to help both of you be more intentional about supporting each other spiritually. You know, it's very easy for us just to chit-chat and not get very deep, even with our Christian friends. And we live in a society that fosters independence, individuality and isolation. So it's easy to have lots of acquaintances and not very many friends. Mm. Spiritual friendship is just a friend who offers care and unconditional love. It's a relationship that's mutual and reciprocal. So there may be seasons where one of the friends is giving more to the other because that person's going through a personal crisis or whatever. But, you know, it's two equals together that are feeling each other's pains and joys
right. And
pointing each other to God.
That's a key thing, isn't it? It's mutual.
Yeah, you're really trying to point each other to God. So you're not trying to become dependent on each other, if you like. But you're really asking, you know, how's your walk going, God-wise? You know, let's pray together, let's pray for each other, sort of thing.
Some people would say, well, I've actually got a really good friend and we can talk about spiritual things. And maybe they've already got a spiritual friend. But is there a specific role for the spiritual friend, a specific thing that they do that regular friends wouldn't do?
Well, I think there's a few roles. You know, the key role is helping growth in spiritual maturity and godliness. There were people in the past that said, you know, if you're really serious about your relationship with God, you go lock yourself in the prayer cell and you just spend time alone with God. And I think, you know, that time of solitude and silence we talked about last week needs to be balanced with actual sharing at a deep level with a person or with people. Another role is accompaniment. So spiritual friends accompany each other on the journey of life, pray for them and with them, support, encourage. There's an important role of listening and asking good questions. And I think a key role is honesty and vulnerability. So it's sharing the unedited state of our soul with another. And Arild of Reval, who was a 12th century monk, writes about spiritual friendship and he says, a spiritual friend is one to whom you can unblushingly make known what progress you have made in the spiritual life, one to whom you can entrust all the secrets of your hearts, and one whom you can place all your plans. So it's someone you can be completely honest with.
Unblushingly.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is what I'm struggling with. This is where God is blessing me and I can really feel like I was really impatient and I'm getting a bit better at that as the Holy Spirit's changing me. Dreams for the future. You know, you're sharing the unedited state of your soul. So it's really quite intimate sharing and you're quite vulnerable, to be
honest.
Now,
where do we find these kinds of people and how do we nurture this kind of friendship? I want to make a generalization here, but I think it's fairly rare.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, it's hard to be completely honest with someone because what if they blab it all out to the rest of the world? You know, are they someone trustworthy? Arild of Reval, this guy in the 12th century that I mentioned before, in his treatise on friendship, he actually outlines some stages for forming a spiritual friendship. And he says the first stage is election. You look for someone who might be a potential friend. So you probably, you know, you think about all the different relationships you've got and try to think, well, Lord, you know, who might be someone that's trustworthy, that's on track spiritually, that's good value? And you probably pray about it a bit. The second one is probation. I love these terms from the 12th century, probation. So you don't tell them, of course, but you're basically testing to see if that person is just an acquaintance or whether they might be someone that could potentially be a spiritual friend.
Right.
The third stage, he says, is admission. And this, I think, is the scary stage. It's basically where you verbally express to the person that you feel like they might be someone that you could meet with on a regular basis and, you know, their relationship's important to you and what do you think? Would you like to meet in this way. Mm. And I suppose it's scary because what if they say, well, no, I don't think about you in the same way. So,
but maybe at that stage you've already started to, if you've gotten to the admission stage, you've already given them the probation stage and found that they've passed. So to some degree, maybe it's, well, this is already happening.
Yeah.
Let's continue along.
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of tell if you're clicking with someone and you know which people you're close to and which ones are just acquaintances. And then the fourth stage is enjoyment. In terms of how a spiritual friendship might function, I mean, I think there's no one formula. I've got one person that fits in this category that I walk with, and we walk and pray for each other in between and email and whatever. Someone else who fits into this category is someone that lives on the other side of the world that I haven't seen for 10 years.
Really?
But I'd put her in this category because we've shared such a lot over a long period of time, and you know, I share struggles and vice versa, and we pray for each other, but it's all email. You know, it's really bizarre.
Isn't that interesting? Well, that leads nicely to the second discipline we're going to talk about tonight, then, is confession. You were talking about the unblushing, unedited version of our lives being shared with these kinds of people. Our Catholic friends know a lot about confession. I wonder if those of us who are of different streams of the Christian faith have actually missed out on something here, though.
Yeah, well, in James 5:16, we read, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed." So we're told in Scripture to do it. Mm. And unconfessed sin can be a real burden, and I think an obstruction in the psychological and physical realities of our lives. It's hard for us to stop hiding and pretending, and yet if we can confess something to someone that we really trust, another Christian, and then go with them to God together and ask for forgiveness, I think that can be quite healing. Mm. I think another huge thing about confession that makes it worthwhile is that it can help us actually avoid sin or avoid reoffending. So if we've been honest with someone and confessed and then, you know, together we've prayed to God and experienced his forgiveness over that, that person can then be someone who helps us be accountable and prays for us and asks us about it and encourages and whatever. So, you know, Dallas Willard says confession is one of the most powerful of the spiritual disciplines. But he also adds it can be most easily abused. And to make confession work, we need authentic fellowship. You know, some people just can't keep confidences and they just love to gossip. So I think confession only works if you've got someone that's good value that you're actually confessing
this
stuff
to. Well, that was my next question. Who do you confess to? I mean, is it going to be the spiritual friend or is it going to be somebody a little bit further up?
Well, I think it depends on the individual. Obviously, I don't think a spiritual friend is really a spiritual friend if you can't be completely honest. You might feel like you want to confess to someone like a spiritual director type person who is really someone that's more like a Christian further down the track, who's had a little bit more experience of the Christian walk and is someone that's really there for you, listening to you, praying for you, whatever, rather than it being a reciprocal thing like a spiritual friend. And we'll talk about that next week.
Yes. And of course, you can go to a church leader, you can go to a pastor, to a priest. It's interesting that that verse you mentioned before out of James, James was actually the leader of the church in Jerusalem, and he's actually saying, actually confess to each other.
Yeah.
Go to each other.
Yeah. So I mean, it's really cutting down this whole idea of you've got to go to the priest for it to be heard. We're all there for each other. Mm. I thought I might just talk a bit about the value of confession by talking again about Richard Foster. And he writes that as an adult pastor, you know, he was the pastor of a church. Everyone looks up to him. Everyone thought he was fantastic. He decided one day, he was really prompted by God, to take a piece of paper and divide it into three parts. One part was his childhood, one part was his adolescence, and one part was his adulthood. And on the first day, he basically came to God in prayer and said, "Can you please reveal to me anything in my childhood that needs forgiveness or healing or both?" As things came to mind, he just jotted them down. He didn't try to analyze it. He just, oh, that might be something and that might be something. And then day two, he asked the same request of God, "Please reveal to me anything in my adolescence that might need forgiveness or healing or both." He just jotted the things down. The third day, "Dear God, reveal anything in my adulthood that might need forgiveness or healing or both." So he wrote down these things in three different parts of the page. Then he approached a friend who he really trusted, a Christian friend, and said, "I'd like to share this stuff with you." And so slowly and sometimes painfully, he read from his sheet of paper, and he didn't really go into great detail. He just added whatever comments were necessary to make it clear. Mm-hmm. And then his friend just ripped up the bit of paper, put it in the bin, as a non-verbal expression of forgiveness. And then the friend laid hands on him and prayed a prayer of healing. And the interesting thing was, almost straight away, that friend turned around and shared with Richard Foster something he'd really been struggling with, that he hadn't been able to confess to anyone. This whole idea of openness encourages openness. You know, if someone's willing to be honest and open to me and they're trusting that I will keep confidentiality, then I can trust them, you know, in a reciprocal way.
Yes.
Richard Foster says, you know, he didn't feel fundamentally different after this time of confession with his friend, but he does know that it set him free in some way, because after that he started practicing some spiritual disciplines that he'd only really thought about in theory before. And he sees a link between that watershed, if you like, and going deeper with God in a more intentional way. So I think confession and forgiveness are realities that do transform us. And without the cross of Christ, the discipline of confession would just be psychologically therapeutic. But it's much more. It's really a means of healing and transforming the inner spirit.
Yeah. Well put. Well, next week, we're going to kind of jump up a rung to some degree from the spiritual friend to the spiritual director. Look forward to exploring that with you, Robin. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Robin Ridley Carr, who has been leading us through the spiritual disciplines, theopenhouse.net.au for more.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.